Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Well, welcome, and especially welcome to visitors and those who are with us online viewing. Welcome to you this month in a series called A Prayerful Life. We are looking at a number of different psalms that really, as Dan reminded us, give us models of prayer that are useful in different seasons of life. And today, we're looking at this wonderful theme. It's a wonderful theme of repentance, and looking at Psalm 51. Repent! It's one of those slightly affronting, perhaps we might even think outdated religious words, isn't it? It's a word that evokes in our imagination an image of a cardboard sign or, perhaps a sandwich board worn by a slightly unhinged homeless person. Repent, the end is near. Armageddon, out of here. Yes, I thought you might catch that. But of course, repentance is at the heart of the gospel message. And John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The first recorded words of Jesus in Mark's gospel are, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Repent and believe the good news." The first recorded message preached by Peter at Pentecost was a call to repentance. "Repent and be baptized," he said, "every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." And so repentance is central to the Christian message. It's at the very heart of the Christian message. And when we talk about repentance, literally we're talking about an act of turning around and going in the opposite direction. And so repentance involves turning from something and turning to something. As we repent, we turn from darkness and to light. We turn from death and to life. True repentance, as highlighted in the King James Version of Acts 20:21, is not only a repentance from sin, which it absolutely is, but it's a repentance towards God. It's a repentance, a faith towards Jesus, a turning, if you like, towards Him. And in the Old Testament, the classic story of repentance is that of King David, after Nathan the prophet accused him of killing Uriah the Hittite. Remember the story? Which he did, of course. Also accused him of committing adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, which he also was guilty of. And, confronted with his own sinfulness, we discover that David actually is cut to the heart. And his very honest, raw prayer of repentance for this sin is found in Psalm 51, which we'll go through in a moment. But before we come to that, my theological understanding is that actually there are two different types of repentance that I want to just briefly outline for you. The first is what we might describe as repentance unto salvation. Now, to understand this clearly, you first need to understand what I describe as the desperately hopeless plight of humanity apart from God's intervention. Let me describe it to you in pictorial form with a couple of images. Imagine for a moment that you're lost at sea. You have no boat, you have no raft, you have no life jacket, you have no flotation device, sharks are circling, and you're just bobbing in the ocean, and there's just endless miles of seawater in all directions with no land in sight. There's no hope. There's no way for you to save yourself by your own efforts, no matter how competent a swimmer you are. Your situation is impossible, hopeless, actually, apart from God's intervention. Hopeless, without hope. That's the spiritual plight of humanity from the moment Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. And then suddenly you realize that there's a helicopter hovering overhead. And next thing, Jesus is being lowered into the water and is beckoning you to take hold of his outstretched hands. You have a choice at that moment. You're not obligated to accept Jesus' help. You're free to continue swimming in the ocean of your own sinfulness and darkness. But in that moment, if you choose to receive the help that Jesus is offering, then that turning toward God, that faith toward Jesus and away from sin and darkness is called repentance. Repentance unto salvation. And that, I want to suggest that repentance unto salvation, it's a one-off experience actually for you in your life. That from that moment on, your spiritual status, your position is that you've been called out of darkness and into his glorious light. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. From that moment on, according to the scriptures, you are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And Jesus says, and we've kind of alluded to it in our singing this morning, Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. It's a beautiful promise. You are eternally secure. Don't ever doubt it. It's a wonderful gift, this gift of repentance unto salvation. Now, some might ask, well, what about, can you jump out of the Father's hand of your own volition? Well, that's an interesting theological question. Been great discussions about that over the years. I'm not sure about that, but certainly there are some stern warnings in Hebrews 6 about apostasy, about falling away, that we'd be wise to take very seriously, actually. But believe Jesus when he says, no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand, right? That's the first kind of repentance. The second kind of repentance is what we might describe as repentance unto godliness. Now, this is not a one-off experience. It's a regular, ongoing part of the Christian life. And from the moment you repent unto salvation, you discover that you have a very powerful spiritual enemy. Satan's mission is to render you ineffective in the Christian life. And he'll do that by tempting you, by luring you back towards the darkness. He cannot pluck you from the Father's hand. You understand that? Yes. He cannot do that. Satan does not have that power to pluck you from the Father's hand. But he can lead you into temptation. He can lead you to make some disastrous, self-destructive decisions in life. He'll do all he can to draw you away from Christian community and in the direction of isolation. He'll pepper you with discouragement. He'll surround you with people who'll criticize you and drag you down. He'll fill your mind with self-doubt. He'll whisper lies in your ear. And these things can cause you to turn back towards the darkness. Now understand, as you turn back towards the darkness, you're not jumping in and out of salvation. Your salvation is eternally secure. But if the devil is successful in luring you in ungodly directions or in ungodly thinking, and you start lurking in the shadows, then you will not experience the freedom and the joy that God has for you. And you'll be ineffective in the work of the kingdom. And so you need to repent. Repent unto godliness. Years ago, when we ran the Valiant Man course in our church, I remember Alan Myers' comment that the church is full of Christian men, full of them. Christian men who are trapped in destructive cycles of addiction. Addiction to pornography, addiction to alcohol, addiction to other vices as well. Women are not exempt from those things, of course, but this was a course for men. I always remember he said, they may well be saved, these men. They may well be saved. They may well have repented unto salvation. But they're not free. They're not living as free men in Christ. They're missing out. And instead, they've been lured back into sinful patterns of behavior, lured back into the darkness. And so they'll never serve, many of them, in leadership roles because they think, if you knew what I was really like, you wouldn't want me as a leader. If you knew the things that I get up to, you wouldn't want me as a leader in your church, pastor. And so they self-disqualify and therefore have been rendered largely ineffective in the kingdom. This is not what God wants. Repent. Turn. Offer up to God a prayer of repentance. Even today, Psalm 51 gives us this great model we can make use of. And so whether it's repentance unto salvation or repentance unto godliness, it's true to say that all genuine repentance flows from a place of desperation. As we'll see in this psalm, these are the outpourings of a human heart that is agonized. David's heart is agonized by the consciousness of his sin. But of course, not everyone's in that place. Jesus says people prefer the darkness to the light because their deeds are evil. Some people like to lurk in the shadows. I remember meeting with a guy some years ago. And as we chatted, I just felt prompted to invite him into a relationship of accountability with me. And he said, let me think about that. He came back to me a couple of days later and he said, you know what, I'm just not ready for that kind of level of accountability. It sounds a bit intense. I'm not ready for that. Soon after that, he left his wife to pursue an adulterous relationship. And I thought a lot about that interaction. I remember thinking, you know, God had offered this guy a lifeline. It was the Spirit of God offering him a lifeline. And he made a choice to swim away from the helicopter and back into the darkness. Repent. See, the more that you and I are complacent about sin of any description in our lives, the less likely we are to embrace true repentance and to pursue God's forgiveness. Well, let's look at David's prayer. It's a wonderful prayer, Psalm 51. You'll know it. Let me read it. Have mercy on me, O God. I wonder if there's a part of your heart this morning that cries out to the Lord. I hope there is, with the heart of David, who says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I'll teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you'll delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Amen.
So if you're in either of these two scenarios this morning, then this is a potentially life-changing prayer for you. Let me remind you of the two scenarios. The first is that you're lost at sea. You've never received salvation from God, or you're not sure if you have. If you're not sure, you probably haven't. And so you're bobbing about in the ocean of sin, no hope of saving yourself, really. And God is calling you today to repent unto salvation. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning, maybe some of you are online. God is calling you to repent unto salvation. The second scenario is that you're perhaps unexpectedly find yourself lurking in the shadows in some sense. That you're a believer, you've come to salvation, but somehow you've wandered into the darkness. Your life's drifted into some dark directions. Things are not right in your relationship with God. Well, God, again, is calling you to repent unto godliness. And here's a very powerful seven-part prayer process. I want to invite you to pray this as we go along this morning. And the first part, just pray these things, even as I highlight each one of these seven. Mercy. Have mercy on me, O God. You want to pray that even in your heart right now. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Remember, Jesus taught about prayer, and he told the story about two men going up to the temple to pray. And you know the story. The first was a Pharisee, an upstanding, respected, law-abiding citizen who prayed with great eloquence. The second, a kind of a dodgy, shady, dishonest, despised tax collector who stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his head to heaven. He bowed his head full of shame, unworthiness, and he prayed, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mercy. The second man, says Jesus. The people looked up. The second man went home justified before God. My prayer this morning has been that you and I will leave this service this morning justified before God because we've cried out for mercy. The prayer of repentance begins with a heartfelt cry for mercy. Number two is brokenness. I know my transgression, says David. My sin is always before me. You know, there's some sin that's very blatant, very obvious. This was true in King David's case. Goodness, murder. Adultery, does it get worse? And so this is his prayer. Lord, I've done what is evil in your sight. I'm guilty. I know it full well. My sin is ever before me. But you know, there's other sin, isn't there, that's more subtle. It's less obvious. Over the years, Graham Mabry has often said, relax, you're a whole lot worse than you think you are. And yeah, often that gets a bit of a laugh. You know what? It's actually no laughing matter. You have brokenness that you're not even aware of as you walk around in your self-righteousness. It's your brokenness that causes you to react defensively or in anger or even to take offense, to overreact. It's your brokenness that causes you to follow trails of addiction and self-destruction. It's your brokenness that reveals itself in the form of pride and arrogance, and racism, and greed. Repent. is what Jesus would say to you today. And so the heartfelt cry for mercy is closely followed by a revelation of my own brokenness. Number three is cleansing. Wash me, says David, and I'll be whiter than snow. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, or in other words, if we agree with God about the sinful state of our own heart, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. John also says in that same passage, anyone who claims to be without sin is a liar. The truth is not in him. In other words, we all have sin in our lives. And so we all have an ongoing need for cleansing and for the forgiveness that flows from the cross and which comes to us through repentance. Let me share a little story. It's a little bit embarrassing for me. I better take a drink before I share this story. A couple of weeks ago, we had a tradie come to our place to fix something that I thought should have been covered under warranty. And so the guy came, he did the job, and then I'd spoken to his office a few days before, and then as he left, he wanted to charge me $185. Excuse me, thought this was covered under warranty. I didn't think it was right. I told him so in no uncertain terms. And so he said, well, he had the machine there. He said, well, let me call the office and check. Called the office, came back a few minutes later and rather sheepishly said, no, they say you have to pay. So I paid. Then I rang the office, unhappy. And I pleaded my case, was told that I was mistaken, that I had to pay the $185. I gave this poor woman a serve. Made it very clear I was unhappy, and was probably a bit rude to her in actual fact. I know some of you are thinking, oh, really? And then I said, is your manager there? I mean, who does that, really? She said, yes, she is. I said, well, I would like to speak to her. And then off I went again. I was outraged. This is wrong. I just felt really angry about it. I know some of you are trying to imagine what that might look like. It's a bit of, because it's not really, I'm not really an angry, I don't actually, you ask Margie, I don't get angry very often. I hung up the phone, and for the next couple of hours, I just felt this heaviness of spirit. Are you familiar with that? When you've behaved badly, actually. I felt this heaviness of spirit. The thing is, I still believed I was right, that there'd been some sort of injustice here. But what I knew was that my response had been wrong because my heart was wrong. I overreacted. We all overreact at times. I overreacted and I'd taken out my frustrations on this poor woman who was just trying to do her job, all over $185. Really? And so at that point, I stopped in my day and I prayed. I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Help me just to let this go. Because you know that those times when there are things that just sit with a heaviness because something's not right. And often you've done something that's not right actually, or you've reacted badly. Well, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit said, you need to apologize to that woman. Really? I'm already embarrassed. I already never want to do business with them again. Can't I just apologize to you, Lord? Well, thankfully I had her mobile number, so I chickened out of ringing her and sent her a text message. Hey, it's something. The text message basically said, hey, I want to apologize for my outburst this morning. I'm really sorry, and I hope I didn't spoil your day. Straight away, a response came back, text. Beautiful response. Thank you. It's all good. We all have our bad days. She said, I hope you have a really lovely evening. Suddenly this woman's my best friend. Who knew? Immediately the heaviness lifted. See, this is the power of repentance. Such a powerful thing. And the beautiful thing about repentance is it leads to restoration. This is the beautiful part of the prayer of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This is the deeply powerful work of the Spirit of God, even in many ways a silly little example of something that's not that significant. And yet it was, you know. In the Spirit it was significant. It's the promise of Ezekiel 36, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone. I had a heart of stone that morning. The Lord took it out, replaced it with a heart of flesh, the softness of heart. This is the work of God to lift you out of the pit of despair, put your feet back on the rock of Christ, restoration of damaged relationships. And the outcome is a joy, a release. You sleep better at night. And very quickly, 5, 6, and 7 are where we come to the fruit of repentance, which is threefold. Just touch on for the sake of time this morning. But witness, first of all, there's the fruit of witness, with David having experienced this beautiful restoration of relationship with God. He says, you know what, Lord, I'm going to teach others your ways. I'll sing of your righteousness. When you experience the grace and the forgiveness and the cleansing and the restoration of God, you just want to tell others about it. Yes. The second fruit is the fruit of humility. You get a revelation of the sinfulness of your own heart, and then the totally unmerited favor of God's grace. You lose all sense of entitlement, which is the cause of a lot of our rubbish, actually. Your rights to certain position or privilege, the sacrifices of God, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. True repentance leads to humility. And then finally, the third fruit of repentance is a release into effective mission. Build up the walls of Jerusalem, says David. It's symbolic of the building work of the kingdom of God. Building relationships, encouraging, supporting, engaging, helping, building bridges who don't yet know the Lord. The fruit is effective ministry and mission for the sake of the kingdom. Repentance is such a powerful thing. It's releasing. And so in a moment, I'm going to invite response in each of those two categories. First of all, a response of repentance under salvation. And the second is a response of repentance under godliness. And the invitations to people of all ages, both men and women, I have to say the Lord's particularly laid men on my heart this week. You men, us men, men who have in some way allowed themselves to drift into some dark places. The Lord's calling you, he's inviting you, women as well, young people as well, to repent unto godliness. And that repentance involves turning. A turning from darkness also involves a lifting of our heads, a turning to God, a turning to the light. Came across a short clip, I've seen it before, but I wanted to share it with you. It's a beautiful song, but it's a song sung by men who lift their heads. Let's take a look. And as we bow in prayer this morning, just to remind you of my prayer, that each one of us would leave today justified before God. And Lord, we cry out for your mercy. I pray this morning, first of all, for anyone present here today, those online as well, who would identify with that bobbing in the ocean, that as you sit here or you sit at home, wherever you are, and you would say, look, I don't think that I'm even saved. I don't think I have ever experienced the grace of God or the forgiveness of God. I've never really truly repented of my sin. And today I want to take that step of faith. If that's you, then I'm simply going to invite you to just raise your hand. And I'd like to just include you in my prayer, just wherever you are. Just raise a hand. I'd love to be praying for you. Thank you. Any others? Praise God. There's more joy in heaven when one person turns to God in repentance. The angels rejoice. And so we rejoice this morning with those who have responded and who have come to a place of salvation today. But I want to pray too for those who would sense a stirring in their hearts this morning to repent unto godliness, that there's just something in your life, even this past week, maybe not like David, you haven't committed murder or adultery, but there's just been something, maybe an interaction that's just left you with a heaviness of heart. Maybe you've wandered into the darkness in some sense. You find yourself lurking in the shadows. And you'd sense the Spirit of God saying to you this morning, you need to repent unto godliness. I'm going to ask you to do something a bit braver and just stand where you are. And I'd like to pray for you. And I would expect that there'd be quite a number of us. Just stand where you are. And for the men who stand, let me say, wives, don't grill your husbands about what darkness they've been involved in. This is between them and the Lord. Mercy. Have mercy on us. Lord, our sin is ever before us. Forgive us. We call upon you, Lord, to forgive us. Forgive us for our complacency over our sin. Cleanse me, Lord, and I will be as white as snow. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Lord, we thank you this morning for the gift of repentance. That you don't leave us in the darkness, but that you seek us out. And this morning, for each one who stands, for those who are watching online who are standing, Lord, we turn to you. We turn from the darkness to the light. We turn from death to life. We turn and we receive the help and the grace and the mercy that you offer to us. We receive it with thankful hearts. Thankful that this morning, today, this very day, we leave this place justified before you. Because you are our righteousness. Because you create a new heart in us. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We'll sing the final song.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.